Let us pray. As we seek to set aside our fears and try to believe your sacred word, help us to allow ourselves to be gathered to you through Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Amen. The first scripture this morning is from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, 6, 7, and 8. These words this morning are a part of Hannah's thanksgiving to God for an answered prayer to have a son, who was Samuel. So listen now to Hannah's praise. There is no holy one like the Lord, no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low, he also exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap, to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. gospel text this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark. I read for you Mark 14, verses 3 through 9. Mark 14, 3. Listen for God's word for you this day. While Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on Jesus' head. But some who were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me, for you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." This is the word of God for the people of God. The anointing story exists with variations in all four Gospels. It's confusing sometimes, because we remember bits and pieces of the other versions, and then we wait for that part that we remembered to show up here, but it doesn't. And we can't concentrate because we're missing that piece that we just know we've heard before. Well, this is Mark's version. So let's simply agree that it may not be the one that you recall, but this is the way that Mark told the story. The story is, yes, about this woman's preparation of Jesus for death, about her extravagant reaction to Jesus' presence, and also about some of his students' objection to what they considered to be a waste of money. So the story includes not only Jesus and the adoring and faithful woman, but also the self-involved and unfaithful few who were also witnesses and disciples, just as she was. It seems clear that the importance of this story centers on the woman's extravagant and dramatic act. It was this act that was challenged as being wasteful. And frankly, that point we understand. Her act still seems irresponsible to many who hear the account this very morning. For a few minutes, the entire house would have been filled with the expensive fragrance, but pretty soon it would have faded. It would have evaporated. All that remained would have been the empty, broken bottle. So, 21 centuries later, we too are bewildered by Jesus' praise of her. We all know you can't run the world like that. You can't just throw money around. You have to be practical. You have to be good stewards of what you have and the gifts that you have been given. So we can relate to the very practical question, and yes, we too want to know, why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Let's do the math. Assuming that the minimum wage today in the state of Texas is $7.25 per hour, one denarius, which is a one day's wages, would equal $58. 7.25 times an 8-hour day, 58. 300 denarii, that is 300 times 58, would be equivalent to $17,400. That woman poured $17,400 worth of ointment onto Jesus' head out of an alabaster jar that she broke open, meaning it had no cork. It couldn't have been resealed. She opened it, poured it all out, simply to adore and honor Jesus. That's breathtaking. I don't know what kind of perfume you wear, but surely she could have sold the full bottle to honor Jesus' work and ministry, like an endowment or a trust fund. $17,000 worth of perfume. Jesus, who was born poor, lived poor, died poor, Jesus, who believed that his purpose was to announce the good news to the poor, Jesus, who defended, protected, and cared for the poor, this Jesus actually took that woman's side. He accepted and blessed her extravagant behavior and called it beautiful. What she did has become a lasting remembrance. Here's the point of the story. It brought out into the open the tension between actions based on the common sense and those that seem to be done for no reason at all except love. And yes, this story and Jesus' response to this story is strange to us. It seems foreign to the experiences that we know and the general logic of his day or ours. We live in a world that seems to demand quantifying the bottom line of everything before we take any risk. We observe and calculate. We research and weigh out and analyze all available funds and compute the bottom line. But Jesus ignored the practical and praised this irrational act of honor, not toward a needy neighbor, not toward an endowment fund whose interest could have been used forever, but an impulsive, spontaneous act of devotion that was directed solely at him. Now, some men think that that kind of devotion is for women to show, all women to show. And all of us think that it's only for the young or the frivolous or people who have apparently way too much money. But friends, Jesus acknowledged it. We remember the Old Testament command about loving God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength. Seems to leave nothing out. Here was a woman who didn't love Jesus because he commanded it. She just loved him. Really, really loved him. And so she didn't hesitate to exemplify her devotion, but did so in grateful response to his extraordinary and merciful love for her. An extravagant and loving gesture in response to an extravagant and undeserved love. The miracle of extraordinary generosity focuses our attention on Jesus. Everywhere he went, he offered blessed abundance. At Cana, he created 180 gallons of new wine, more than a wedding crowd could possibly consume. By the Sea of Galilee, more than 5,000 people were fed and satiated, and 12 baskets of leftovers remained. After fishing all night with no results, Simon Peter was instructed to cast his net on the other side of the boat. And it was then that his nets were filled to such capacity that they almost broke as the boat crew tried to haul them in. This is our Lord, who lavishes us every day with abundance. His gifts of nature, family, friends, health, medical intelligence, love. Oh my gracious. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. The authorities were looking for him. Everybody knew that. And they wanted to quiet him. But to quiet him, they knew that they would have to kill him. Jesus knew that in the minds and the limited understanding of the leaders of the church, he had crossed a line. He had defied nature more than once. He had confronted death itself. He had done something that no mortal man could do. And the powers of the church wanted him gone. So Jesus went to Bethany. It was a place where he felt safe. He went to be at the home of his dearest friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. It was a place where he was welcome and a place where he could relax and be not only the Messiah, but also just Jesus. And even there, even then, he was recognized by one adoring woman who wanted to treat him like he deserved to be treated by everyone in the house, everyone in his circle, everyone in the world, everyone on earth for all time, even by members and people who live in Henderson, Texas. Much of modern religion continues to focus on what is useful, practical, and cost-effective. Concern for the bottom line arises when resources appear to be slim. But in Jesus' teaching, we discover that our hearts are diminished if the budget is our first and most important concern. Of course, there can be abuse when extravagance is pursued at the expense of ministry to the poor. There's a problem. When a church board debates replacing the lighting in a sanctuary so that folks can better see their hymn books, and one loud person piously remarks, "Jesus would prefer that we feed the poor," there it is. That woman from Bethany, her nard will be sold, and another congregation will be forbidden to honor Jesus in a way that might be fitting. We have to be careful, of course, but the two concepts might exist in tension, but they can exist together. From the New Testament, we hear it in the familiar and moving promise. God so loved the world that he gave his only son that we might have eternal life. Can we not drop our emotional guard just a bit and praise God? Maybe thank God as we clean the oven or plow a field or make our hospital visits. Or maybe even here in this place, we could surprise ourselves and our neighbors and love God in letting go in song and joyful noise. Can we, laid back, frozen, chosen Christians, not loosen up just a bit in loving God? And here's the question that could have been asked by the disciples that day, and maybe we could be asked the same thing this morning. Could it be that when it comes to love, there isn't such a thing as extravagance? Could it be when loving the Messiah, there is no line for extravagance? Could it be that we are supposed to love with our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength? Aren't we supposed to? Because the Lord makes poor and makes rich. God brings low and also exalts. God raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are God's, and on them God has set the world. It would seem that both the Christian text and the Hebrew text indicate that when looking to illustrate love for God, or looking to collect love from God, there is no line for extravagance. Thank God.